continue to urge diplomacy as the best way forward.
Russia-Ukraine takes center stage at UN. It's Wednesday, February 2nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, press freedom erodes in Hong Kong. North Korea launches again. Curling sweeping popularity. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Will Russia invade Ukraine? While the world waits, the war of words is picking up steam, with top diplomats from the U.S. and Russia going head-to-head at the United Nations, and U.S. President Joe Biden vowing that the U.S. is ready no matter what happens. Meanwhile, China and Russia have become ever closer. VOA White House correspondent Anita Powell reports from Washington.
Strong words from U.S. President Joe Biden as the drama deepens between Moscow and Washington.
We continue to urge diplomacy as the best way forward. But with Russia's continuing its buildup of its forces around Ukraine, we are ready no matter what happens.
Washington is talking tough as Russian President Vladimir Putin continues to deploy thousands of troops along the Ukrainian border, not just within Russian territory, but also in Belarus. The White House says more than 105,000 Russian troops nearly encircle Ukraine. Russia objects to Ukraine's attempt to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and has demanded that the U.S., the most powerful member of the Collective Security Alliance, bar Ukraine's entry. The top U.S. diplomat at the United Nations on Monday called for the Security Council to discuss the matter publicly after months of private discussions between the U.S. and Russia. Linda Thomas-Greenfield is U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
The situation we're facing in Europe is urgent and dangerous, and the stakes for Ukraine and for every UN member state could not be higher. Russia's actions strike at the very heart of the UN Charter. This is as clear and consequential a threat to peace and security as anyone can imagine.
Russia fired back with its ambassador saying it does not intend to invade.
You want it to happen. You're waiting for it to happen, as if you want to make your words become a reality. This is despite the fact that we are constantly rejecting these allegations. And this is despite the fact that no threat of a planned invasion into Ukraine from the lips of any Russian politician or public figure over all of this period has been made.
The dispute between two nuclear-armed nations is about more than differing worldviews, says analyst Angela Stent, speaking to VOA via Skype. A stable Europe is central to U.S. interests, and sending more than $200 million worth of security assistance to non-NATO Ukraine is part of that.
It's not only ideology, it's security. I mean, it's, you know, a system of alliances and a stable European continent, which are in the U.S.'s interests. We don't live in isolation. You know, we're a very large island with two neighbors, right? We're a continent. But so it's more than that. It's not about ideology. It's about power politics, but it's also about principles, which do have to do with territorial integrity and sovereignty.
Meanwhile, Russia and top U.S. rival China have become ever closer. Beijing expressed its dissatisfaction when Russia invaded Georgia as China was hosting the 2008 Olympics. The Chinese capital will host the Winter Games starting this week. With the U.S. threatening heavy sanctions against Russia and even against Putin himself, Moscow will need support from the world's second largest economy if it invades Ukraine. Analysts say this could play out slowly as the Olympics take center stage and Washington continues to remind Moscow of the consequences of an invasion. Andrew Lozen, a fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, via Zoom.
If it does move into Ukraine, then the economic measures that the United States and others are going to bring to bear, you know, to a certain extent, will push them even further into a junior relationship with China, which is just going to hurt their economy in the long run. I don't really see a lot of strong outcomes here. So that's one of the reasons why I think that a diplomatic outcome might still be on the table, but Russia's going to try to you know, let the clock run as long as possible to let us feel uncomfortable.
And so, as the games begin in Beijing and military positioning continues on both sides of Ukraine's border, the diplomatic standoff between distant rivals endures. Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Taiwan closely watches U.S. actions towards Russia and Ukraine. Australian schools seek COVID-19 safe plan. Zero tolerance for Myanmar's free press. UN and rights groups demand Taliban free two Afghan journalists. India projects strong economic rebound after pandemic. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. Hong Kong's media leaders and journalists are adjusting to the challenging environment as they navigate a national security law instituted by Beijing. VOA's Laurel Bowman has more.
First to fall in June 2021 was Apple Daily and its founder, Jimmy Lai. The newspaper that praised Hong Kong's 2019 pro-democracy movement was loathed by Beijing's leadership. With its executives charged under the national security law, the paper's assets were frozen. Lai, an outspoken critic of the Chinese Communist Party, is now in prison. For many Hong Kongers, the newspaper's demise sent a chill. Stephen Liu is a Hong Kong resident.
It's like death, because Hong Kong is supposed to have freedom of press and speech. If the last organization that speaks for Hong Kong disappears, I don't want to live here anymore.
Apple Daily was not the last. In late December, National Security Police raided the pro-democracy news website Stand News. Its assets were frozen and boxes of evidence, including computers, phones, and journalistic materials, were carted away. Crowds showed up in support of two editors who had been charged with sedition. Their arrests came even after Stan News had said it would cease operations. The risk of lawsuits is changing how media think, says Ronson Chan, a former Stan News journalist who chairs the Hong Kong Journalists Association. Police spent 5 hours searching his sparse apartment. Chan spoke to VOA via Skype.
No one could escape from the law, from the NSL. So you may bear very high risk if you do something very sensitive or something. So I feel quite sad about the future of this journalism in Hong Kong.
A week later, Citizen News threw in the towel. Daisy Lee was chief editor at Citizen News.
I am unsure whether a story, a piece of news, or a sentence will violate a new regulation under the changing news environment. If I can't confidently let my reporters continue to do what we are doing, then I should stop. As a leader, I am responsible for journalists, after all.
She added that journalists need to feel safe in their jobs. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam says Western governments critical of the news outlets' closures don't understand Hong Kong law. Journalists are respected, but they must practice their trade properly, she says.
If you breach the law but package yourself as a practitioner in the press, then we need to see through that, to be able to tell what's actually happening, and the law enforcement department should take action.
Press freedom advocates say it's a precarious time to be a journalist in Hong Kong.
I think here in Hong Kong at the moment, journalists are distressed. They're frightened. They're despairing. But they're trying to get on with their jobs as best they can. I mean, it's a tough time if you know Hong Kong the way it used to be. This place used to be probably the freest in Asia and this part of the world for the press.
Now, with pro-democracy media closing and laws making journalists wary of covering political news, that freedom appears limited. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Still to come on VOA Asia, North Korea launches its biggest missile in 4 years. Happening now in Asia, India's new budget will impose a tax of 30% on income from cryptocurrencies and other digital assets. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman said on Tuesday. Stay up to date with VOA or listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. North Korea has confirmed its test of an intermediate-range ballistic missile. It's the biggest missile North Korea has tested in more than 4 years. The move further increases pressure on the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korea says it tested the Hwasong-12 intermediate-range ballistic missile. It was last launched in 2017, seen here. This time, North Korea also released two photos taken after the warhead reached outer space. North Korea says the missile was launched at a steep angle to avoid flying over other countries. But Japanese government spokesperson Hirokazu Matsuno condemned the launch.
Such intense ballistic missile launches are in violation of relevant Security Council resolutions, and our country has made a strong protest to North Korea through the embassy route in Beijing.
South Korea also held an emergency meeting of its National Security Council and called for the North to return to talks. North Korea has launched 11 missiles in January, setting a new monthly record. Though the latest test is its biggest in 4 years, analysts such as Ramon Pacheco Pardo say it may not be seen as a major provocation.
If North Korea really wanted to catch everyone's attention, they would go down the ICBM or nuclear test, and they haven't done it. Right now, no one is really commenting on the test other than those who follow the Korean Peninsula issues.
In response to the latest launch, a senior U.S. official told reporters he expects North Korea to soon conduct bigger tests to extract concessions from the United States. He said the U.S. is open to negotiations, but doesn't want a presidential summit for the moment. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Finally on VOA Asia, curling has only been an Olympic medal competition since 1998. And only in 2018 did the Olympic Committee add a mixed doubles category to the games. But it's a growing sport, and Lilia Anisimova spoke to some people who love it. Anna Rice narrates her story.
Curling is a unique sport. Two teams of four take turns sliding a large polished granite stone across the ice, using special brooms or brushes to control its movement. Catherine Gurianova's parents immigrated to the U.S. from Russia. When she was a child, her parents signed her up for figure skating, but it was curling that stole the young woman's heart.
I think it's a very strategic sport. You have to do a lot of thinking. I keep finding new facets of the game. Lots of sports are strategic, but to me, curling is very special.
In 2019, Gurianova represented the U.S. at the 2019 World Mixed Championship. Anyone can try their hand at curling here at the Potomac Curling Club, where Gurianova first learned the sport.
Sweeping is one of the hardest aspects of curling because it requires a lot of communication, a lot of split-second decisions about if you need to sweep, if you need to not sweep. The idea is to put as much weight as you can while still feeling safe on the broom and then move it as fast as possible.
The U.S. Curling Association has 135 clubs across the country, with some 13,000 members. Eight of them, the very best, will represent the U.S. during the Winter Olympics that will take place in Beijing this year, from February 4th to February 20th. For Lilia Anisimova in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's all the time we have on VOA Asia. Make sure to find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Gaskill in Washington. Enjoy the day.
Yeah.